You know, whatever matchup Ole Miss gets in the college football playoff first round, whether it be home or away, let's see if the committee punishes them for not having their current head coach. But I will be betting Ole Miss on the Hard Rock Bet app, which you could download today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for free today. If you put just $5 into the app, you make that first $5 bet and you win it, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. Refer a friend to get an additional $50 in bonus bets as well. That's $200 right then and there that you can use in college basketball, college football with conference championship weekend up ahead. And you also have the NFL, which had a great last 7 days and a good Thursday night football game coming up with the Detroit Lions taking on the Dallas Cowboys. You had all this action that you could bet on the app. Put together parlays as little as $1. Put them up to 20 legs. Increase your odds. Do it today on the app. That's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager terms, conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY. Wise. All right, let's bounce around. Let's do a quick one. 5 and 5, presented by Flagler Credit Union.
5 topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, bank 10.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Well, we had a couple of big results on the NFL slate yesterday. A slimmed down slate, but how about in that 1 o'clock window, the Panthers beating the Rams 31-28.
Is that not the most predictable upset of all time?
Was that game more about the Rams showing some chinks in the armor or the Panthers introducing themselves as a team to take seriously?
And this is what the Panthers do.
Yeah.
And they could beat.
They get bamboozled 1 week and then they come back and could beat anybody.
They could beat anybody.
You call, and for the record, Christian, Colin called this game to a T. He said the Panthers are going to win this game. You hit that over, right? You hit that
I
over?
Over. Yeah. I hit my Bronco over yesterday and my Panther over.
I hit
both
the Bronco
those
one, too.
Yeah. So 2 overs I've already hit before we get to December.
I'm dusted, though, with the Steelers and the Raiders. But regardless, Kyle, good call, good win. Bryce Young played pretty well in the game. And
defense played great. They picked off Stafford.
Are they a playoff team? Are they a playoff team? It's tough because
they still got 2 against the Buccaneers. That's going to decide
it's tough.
And it depends what week they catch
them. And how about the – like you saw on the South on the NFC side – or sorry, on the AFC side – you saw the Colts kind of stub their foot, and the Jags now are the first team there. Maybe a little bit can happen.
And the Jags play the Colts next week.
And maybe a little bit of that can happen in the NFC South, too, with the Buccaneers not necessarily in form.
Yeah, I mean, the Buccaneers, they're 7-5 right now. They still have 2 to go against the Panthers. They play them twice in 3 weeks. So that's not going to be easy. They have the 2-10 Saints next week, but Buccaneers have been reeling. One thing about that Ram game is the thing about the Panthers that's interesting is when they're on, they're comfortable in a late-game situation. They're comfortable in a game-winning drive. They're comfortable on fourth down. They take chances. They got 4 6-5 receivers on the outside. They can run the ball. It's a fun team. They're just not consistent. And the coach is good after a loss. You got to give him credit for that.
Tech McMillan had a hell of a game. But, Kyle, let's move on to number two.
Number two.
Seahawks destroyed the Vikings 26-0. Nothing. Now, J.J. McCarthy did not play in that one. Instead, it was Max Brosmer getting the start, and he did not play very well. I think it was Coach Mariotti on the NFL Network said he would throw for over 400 yards. Didn't really happen. Is it now official that the Vikings made a very grave mistake on not re-signing Sam Darnold to a similar deal that he got from the Seahawks after he just destroyed his whole team?
Yep, they should look to retool, and all the great players they have that are in their prime, they should look to move them and try to stockpile draft picks and start over from scratch.
Christian, I lost my fantasy matchup because of Justin Jefferson.
Number three.
We had the game take place at noon on Saturday.
Not one word about it. I give you credit. Not one word about it. I give you credit. Continue.
Thank you, brother.
Ohio State squashed Michigan 27-9, but the better game took place in the South's biggest rivalry with the Iron Bowl, a thriller where Auburn played a pretty bad game for most of it but made it a game at the end. Alabama converts on 4th and 2 through a touchdown pass in there from Simpson. If you could only watch one game every year, Colin Russo, and it was Ohio State Michigan or Alabama Auburn, which game would you watch?
If I could guarantee that every single one of those Iron Bowls is in Auburn, I would choose the Iron Bowl. It's only a big game whenever it's in Auburn at that haunted stadium.
It's fun.
But when it's in Alabama, it's not nearly as big. Auburn's whole job every year is to spoil Bama's season. That's why that game is always fun. A lot of the times, Ohio State, they could have lost the game and still gotten in. Michigan, of course, was in a play-in situation. But that the game, tell me if I'm wrong here, Mike. At least in recent memory, it'll never reach the heights of what I think 2023 was when the winner got into the playoff and the loser did not. They were both undefeated, 2-3. It'll never reach that again.
It won't. It won't.
But outside of that, the Auburn-Alabama game, it feels different. It's at night, you know? 11 a.m. Central Time watching the game, it hurts a little bit of momentum. I know it's destined to be at that time, but you can't tell me that the night environment at Jordan-Hare does not make a difference. You could feel it on TV.
No, obviously for Ohio State Michigan fans, it always means something. But for the consumer, that Iron Bowl usually probably gives a better game. To Colin's point, 2023, whoever won that game was winning the national championship. And even with Kyle McCord at quarterback, Buckeyes probably still clear everybody in on that schedule. So.
Yeah, that was as big as that game will ever be.
It was. Can I have my 5 seconds here? I mean, Christian, how many times I had to hear Ohio State soft, Michigan always wins the line of scrimmage, we're a finesse team. Dude, I took a tremendous amount of pride in the sense of Ohio State winning the line of scrimmage. You had 3 out of the 5 kids on our offensive line are Ohio kids, and they took it personal. I think you saw for the first time in 4 years the Buckeyes win the trenches. Offensively and defensively, Bo Jackson was incredible in the game. And give Julian Sain some credit. Kid threw an early interception, and then he went belt to bottom, 3 touchdowns, 230. Everything is right in the world, boys. OH.
Number 4.
Good win for the refs and Ohio State. Now we move our...
you might be onto something there, but I even asked Colin, like, they dominated the game, though. Like, if that was a close game, Christian...
The second they got ahead, Michigan was never getting back.
If that was a close game, I'd listen to that. And the reason it stinks is because you see what the referee... If you guys didn't see what the referee says, I'll make this quickly. The refs came out after that game and said they didn't have the proper cameras to overturn that call.
Camera from
that was bad. 5, 000, that was really...
5,000 different angles.
Boys, as an Ohio State fan, that is awful. But I also say, like, dude, are you really going to take away that touchdown?
The rule is stupid. There's
are
no
you
doubt.
Really going to take
the
away that
is
touchdown?
So stupid. The rule, that touchback rule is so stupid.
You're really going to take that away.
As a Baltimore Ravens fan, I agree with you for this weekend, Colin. Let's stay in college football. Miami put their final data points in front of the committee by slaughtering Pittsburgh 38-7. They beat Pittsburgh more handily than Notre Dame did Pittsburgh. Notre Dame also put their last game on the calendar with a midnight win over Stanford. Nobody watched it. I don't blame you. If you were to guess right now, is Miami in the playoff? What would you guess?
I would say no, because I think the impression always was Miami was going to get in next to Notre Dame if they were going to get in. They were not going to get in place of Notre Dame. They needed help. They needed Oklahoma to lose to LSU. They needed Alabama to lose to Auburn. Neither of those two things happened. Now you're going to have to make a decision here to see who those other teams are on the outside looking in, whether the committee wants to throw a bone to the BYUs of the world or Miami or Alabama. There's probably 10 teams locked and 2 of 6 that are going to be selected. You want to make an argument for Texas, please have at it. They're definitely on the bottom of the totem pole there. I think Miami's still out. What has changed? If you want to talk about beating Pittsburgh by a touchdown more than what Notre Dame did, I don't know if I could listen to that.
Let's deep dive quickly. Texas, Vanderbilt, Miami, loser of the Big 12 championship. What two are you putting in? That's what it's going to come down to.
Because Bama's probably in regardless.
They're in regardless. They're playing in conference championship weekend, no?
Yeah, you can't punish them for it, unfortunately.
They set that precedent.
So boys,
you're
once again.
Unless they get destroyed.
Once again.
Right, so they can. Right, it's a weird little backdoor.
SMU did not get destroyed last year.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, guys, I'm trolling. I forgot about the ACC winner.
Yeah,
because Virginia's 16.
James Madison.
So it's basically out of these teams, Vanderbilt, Miami, Texas, loser of Big 12. There's one spot, right?
I think it's
there's one spot.
I actually don't hate the Texas argument as much as Colin does. I know that
don't
they got
to
get in
Florida
line.
Christian.
I know. I think that actually they are a pretty good team, but it's too crowded right now to entertain Texas as an option. You gotta put in Miami Notre Dame. You absolutely have to for like the sanctity of mankind.
Like it, realistically, I wouldn't put in that second Big 12 team. It, for me, guys, that last spot, if James Madison and or AC, and we, yeah, we'd have to put in the ACC champion, excuse me. It's either Miami or Vanderbilt. Who are you picking? Miami or Vanderbilt? Who are you going
to
pick?
If you think Miami caught up
it's
to
tough, Notre Dame. Dude. Christian's scratching his head. It's tough.
Well, let's go through it. Ohio State is getting in. Indiana's getting in. Texas A&M's getting in. Georgia's getting in. Tech is getting in. Oregon's getting in. Ole Miss is getting in. Oklahoma's getting in. That's 8. ACC champion's going to get in. Group of 5 champion's going to get in. That's 10. Then you got 2 more spots for Notre Dame, Bama, BYU, Miami, Vandy, and Texas.
And Notre Dame's in. So it's one spot for those 4 teams.
And Alabama's in.
Do we need to expand to 14, Christian?
No. They need to all go home.
Do we need to expand for 14?
They need to all go home.
Then, yeah, Miami's out. Then they're absolutely out. So is Vanderbilt. Crazy.
Beat SMU, beat Louisville. You can't talk about how they're good.
But what about Vandy? 2-loss SEC team.
SMU just lost to Cal on the road in the middle of the night.
Listen, Cal beat Cal. What a talk about a hot ending, right? Then they beat Stanford. They beat Stanford, and then they beat
They lost to Stanford.
That's
then
it.
Then they fired their coach, and then they beat SMU.
I had that
backwards. Can't listen to Miami anymore. We got Jonathan Zazo, the voice of the 305, on the other side of things. We'll see if he has any thoughts on the Miami fiasco. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You hear them all over the Zazzo Show 2.0 and the College Football ESPN Radio Campus Tour, which is all around the country throughout the year on Saturdays. Let's get to it. The voice of the 305, Jonathan Zazzo.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami Sports Radio.
Hey, you could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley Gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins Delusion.
Can the Bills offense keep up with the Dolphins offense?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers' power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo.
Woo!
Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305. Presented by Anajar and Levine, Robinhood, and Twin Peaks.
Zaz, welcome in. How are we doing today? What's going on?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Good. Now that we've sort of closed out the regular season of college football, a tumultuous weekend to say the least, especially on the coaching carousel, let's start with the elephant in the room. Lane Kiffin bailing on Ole Miss and going to LSU. Ole Miss says you cannot coach the team if you were expecting to leave. And everybody's sort of on a different side here. Some people are in favor of Lane here. Some people are in favor of Ole Miss. Some people hate everybody involved and hate the NCAA. Where are you at this?
I mean, there are some people who are on the right side, and then there are some people who are nuts. And the people who are nuts are the ones who believe that Ole Miss should have allowed him to remain the head coach. I mean, in what world do you decide that you're going to leave your current job to go to the competition, but, hey, can you still let me stick around for maybe the next 2 months? Because that's what we're talking about here. It's not I want to, you know, finish out a bowl game. It's in best case scenario, he would still be the Ole Miss coach for another almost 2 months. He wants to coach them through a potential national championship game. I mean, imagine this scenario, okay, where it's the beginning of January and they're getting ready for the college football playoff semifinal. Maybe you got some Ole Miss coaches. Hey, you know, I got some cool ideas. Let me go run it by Lane. Oh, what? Coach Kiffin's not here. Oh, he's on the recruiting trail? Recruiting for LSU? Damn it. I was hoping to go over some stuff for the game. I mean, how could you possibly have that scenario? So, of course, Ole Miss isn't allowing him to be the head coach. You know what? The only place that I would fault Ole Miss, because they're mad, and I get it, but the only place that I would fault Ole Miss is you know what you married. You know what you married, and then you're upset that Lane Kiffin decided to act like Lane Kiffin. So that's the only place that I would fault Ole Miss.
Zaz, I feel for the fan. Like, in this sense, it's the best season Ole Miss has had in 3 decades, and it's the best season that Lane Kiffin has ever had as a head coach, and somehow, some way, they're the ones getting screwed here.
Yeah, I mean, and imagine this. You know, we crush players all the time for taking the money. Is it about winning or is it about money? Can you imagine if a professional athlete, and it's obviously, you know, it's not apples to apples because you know, you can't do free agency in the middle of the season. But can you imagine what the reaction would be if a professional athlete decided not to play in a playoff game because he wanted to go play for another team that isn't even any good?
And the whole goal of everything is to try to get to said playoff game? That's where and then you can't turn around and try to victimize yourself out of this, you know, getting planes on right. the runway saying, coaches, either get on or you're never going to talk to me again. it's the dumbest thing in the world.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, you bring up a good point there, Colin, because I'm wondering, when he went to pray on the idea, was it part of the prayer where he decided he was going to threaten the coaches?
Right. And also, Zez, he got some advice from, what, Nick Saban, Pete Carroll?
No way they said that.
The ransom note? Zaz, I said it's like a villain from a really bad movie. Like, give me this much money and a plane or I'm out.
Like a hostage situation.
It's like crazy.
Look, Saban's lacking some self-awareness in this spot also, because Saban is talking about how we got to do something about the schedule here. It's a major schedule conflict. That's a completely different story. There's no conflict here. Lane Kiffin had a choice. Either coach Ole Miss or coach LSU. He chose coach LSU. What's the conflict?
And I think it's Rich coming from Saban, too. The same guy who threw Lane Kiffin out into the street when Lane Kiffin was taking the FAU job, accepting it while they're preparing for a national championship. And Saban said, hold on a second. Split focus, too divided. Get the hell out of here. And that's him taking a promotion. And then Saban's going to turn around saying, Ole Miss should have let Lane coach. We got to fix the calendar. It's a little rich. It's a little rich coming from Saban. It's very hypocritical. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with the representation of said Saban and Kiffin and how they're all represented by the same guy. It's a nonsense type of PR routine that is going through right now with Lane Kiffin. The fact that he called Marty Smith. Now I'll do the interview after Marty Smith stayed up for 38 straight hours waiting for Lane Kiffin to
justice for Marty, man. Joe Marty Smith, by the way.
Absolute joke.
And can I, by the way, guys, can I add something else? What a clown this governor of Louisiana turned out to be. All right, talking about how the next head coach, we're not giving out these contracts anymore. You know, you come over here, how about you get paid if you win? You're so good, you get the money if you win. Well, guess what? Not only are they giving Kiffin this exorbitant contract, but they're also, LSU is paying Kiffin any bonuses he would have received from Ole Miss for winning playoff games. So LSU, if Ole Miss wins games, LSU pays their current coach because Ole Miss is winning. And on top of that, the buyout is crazy that he just signed with LSU. And there is no there's no language that says he has to go out and try and find another job to offset the money if he does get fired. So literally, everything that this clown governor said they're not going to do anymore, they did, and more.
And Zez, let's not forget, LSU stole a head coach in Brian Kelly 4 years ago. Fast forward 4 years, Kelly fired. Kelly taking the school to court because they're refusing to pay him guaranteed dollars. Now said school is paying $90 million to Lane Kiffin, giving him $13 million a year, and promising $30 million in spending cash for Kiffin on the team. Listen, LSU is the silent killer here. Forgive me for thinking, Zaz, that this is going to blow up in LSU's face, just like how it did with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, the history would tell you. He'll have a few really good years there. I mean, maybe they'll win. I don't know, considering Lane Kiffin's never even coached in a playoff game. But they'll have a few good years, and then it'll likely end the way it's always ended.
So they're paying Brian Kelly about $10 million. They offered Lane a 7-year contract that is $13 million a year.
Where's the money come from? The taxpayers? The government? Like,
just goes to show, Lane thought he had all the leverage in the world with both schools. He had it with LSU. He got whatever he wanted with LSU. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he said, I want $13 million. I want $30 million for the team. And they said, fine, take it. And he said, he probably also said, I want my bonuses that I would get if Ole Miss is any good in the postseason because I'm bailing on them. And I'm sure that was not LSU's idea. Hey, let's operate in good faith and give you that. Lane Kiffin said that, negotiation. All right, well, they're not going to let me coach. If I get a bonus, you got to pay it. And they said, fine.
And Zaz, both sides are playing victim. Lane's playing the victim. Oh, I wanted to coach my kids. Ole Miss is playing the victim. We can't let you coach. And the take I'm having today, Zaz, the one that suffers are the fans. The Ole Miss fans who have their best season in 30 years, and it's all being overshadowed by this childish scuffle between Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin.
Well, look, if nothing else, you know, in the playoffs, like, this is an Ole Miss team that's going to play super hard. You know, those kids, they're going to want to, like, they're going to want to prove everybody that they could win without them. The interesting part is, you know, tomorrow night when the rankings come out, do they get punished at all?
Yep. That's the big question. Does the committee FSU them and punish them? That's Jonathan Zazzo, the Zazzo Show 2.0, joining us now. Now, let's get into that a little bit. Number one, I do think that Ole Miss first-round game, they'll play in that first round, maybe a home game, will be the most fascinating first-round game of that entire weekend, December 19th, December 20th. That's number one. But number two is Miami especially. They had a good win over Pitt, but they needed a lot of help. We knew that going into the week. They knew that they needed either one of Oklahoma or Alabama to lose. Neither of that happened. Now, you make an argument that Miami beating Pitt in a strong sense might make a difference in the eyes of the committee. Where is Jonathan Zazzo at a day out from where the committee is going to announce their rankings?
Well, I mean, Miami came really close to essentially assuring itself a spot if LSU could have held on against Oklahoma. Like, that was going to be the way in. Yeah. That was going to be the way in. But instead, I think tomorrow night the Canes will move up one spot. I think they're going to jump BYU. I think they should be ahead of BYU. I don't see how they're going to jump any further than that without anyone in front of them having lost. I think what you would like is Alabama, the Canes fan, probably needs to hope that Alabama wins the SEC championship this weekend, and then that would obviously jump Alabama, I mean, maybe as high as into the top four, and then you're hoping Miami and Notre Dame would be right smack next to each other. Because if Miami jumps to 11 tomorrow, then maybe you still have Alabama between them at 9 and 11. If Alabama moves up and they're SEC champion, if Miami and Notre Dame are right next to each other now, does the committee have the guts to look everybody in the eye and say, we don't care that Miami beat them?
So you think more so of a logistical error, knowing that, hey, our previous ranking has Bama, Notre Dame, and Miami sort of separate, Bama's being the in-betweener. You need the in-betweener to move to allow that leapfrog effect to happen.
Well, BYU also. Like, BYU's between them now also, and I think the Canes are going to jump BYU.
Well, and also, I think BYU needs to lose. Colin and I were talking in the break, says, if BYU wins...
There's still an argument for Tech to get in.
Right.
There's still an argument.
Right. And we went through the guaranteed eight.
No. Tech's going to get in no matter what, but you're right about BYU, because even if the Canes jump BYU tomorrow, which I think they will, if BYU then wins the Big 12...
Then you got to cut somebody out.
Like, you are going to get two teams from the Big 12 then in. So, yeah, you're right.
Like, Zez, Kyle and I went through it. Like, there's one spot left, and it's either you keep Notre Dame out or you put them in. Like, there's no more room for the Canes, and it stinks. Like, and you know the committee's not going to keep out Notre Dame's ass. That's the saddest part.
I mean, if BYU That's the saddest part. Notre Dame's worried about BYU.
Are you sure?
Yes. If BYU beats Tech, I think they'll keep Tech in and kick Notre Dame out. That's when I think Notre Dame and Miami, the committee would be okay with that, because Notre Dame would be right there next to Miami.
But teams like Vanderbilt...
Tech is definitely making it, because if Tech loses to BYU, which I don't think they will, they're not dropping from five to out of the playoffs because they lost the conference championship game, especially when the team that would beat them, BYU, they crushed a few weeks ago. So Texas Tech is still getting in no matter what.
Can't punish them that much for playing the extra game, too.
Zez, it's either you're putting in Notre Dame or Miami. Am I wrong on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it seems to me.
Vanderbilt's throwing their name in there. Texas, you know, Zez, you know what I say, don't lose to Florida. But Texas wants to. So you got one spot, and you have Miami, Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, and Texas. Who are you putting in, Zez?
I think you're being too generous with Vanderbilt and Texas. I really don't think
Vandy's 10-2 in the SEC, though, Zez. No,
I don't think they're in the conversation. I think it's Miami and Notre Dame.
Okay.
And it's not that, okay, you know, yes, they only lost two games and they're in the SEC. Vanderbilt, like, there's no reason for Vanderbilt to jump ahead of Miami. There's just not. So that's why I'm saying that you're being too generous, including Vandy.
You got to throw in BYU. BYU is the only team there that actually controls their own destiny. BYU
you're right.
wins.
Yeah, you're right.
BYU
you're right.
can close the door on everybody. Because if they that's win true. And give them a – because everybody's complaining about BYU.
Assuming, I guess I'm just not giving BYU a chance in the Big 12 championship. That's what I'm doing there.
Fair enough. Now, Zaz, on top of this, based on what we saw over the weekend, Alabama was pressured a little bit, Oklahoma was pressured a little bit, but I want to stay on the coaching carousel really quick. You are a Miami guy who went to Florida Florida made a sort of quiet move. They got it done quickly. Tulane's coach is going to be allowed to coach at the college football playoff if they were to advance past the American this weekend. John Summerall is going to be the next coach of the Florida Gators. Where are you at with that?
I can't sit here in good faith and tell you guys that I think it's a great hire or I think it's a terrible hire. Like, I don't know. You know, he's done well at Tulane. He did well before that at Troy. You know, I think a lot of the Gator fan base is annoyed that it's another G5 conference coach when I would come back and tell you, you know what? Most great coaches started in a G5 school, you know? And then you have other Gator fans like, oh, you know, it's also another coach from Louisiana, which is where Billy Napier came from. And that seems to be a really stupid explanation to me. So, look, it's a young coach. I'm reading things that, like, the demeanor, he's exact opposite of Billy Napier, the Gator fan. You're going to hear from him. You're going to wind up liking him. I'm willing to give it a chance. Like, I'm fine with it.
Zaz, after watching Rivalry Weekend, who's the best team in the country going into the conference championship weekend?
Yeah, now, see, I know what you're doing here.
Yeah,
I do.
The same thing. I was thinking the same thing.
Yep.
This is a trap. And I'm going
to... Listen, I want you to tell me that it's not Ohio State, because I know you're not going to pick the Buckeyes.
Well, I mean, can you ask me again after the Big Ten Championship?
Nice. Hang on, we're doing this again? I'm giving you guys one more chance. I flipped out on you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I apologize for that. I'm giving you guys one more chance. You're going with the Indiana train still?
Yeah.
You're still on...
Yeah, you know,
Colin,
you
yes?
know what? I thought
Zaz?
For a second... I thought I was about to fall into your trap. I'm not going to do it. You're going to ask me again on Monday next week, and then you're going to have to hold my feet to the fire.
Zaz, you're buying into Indiana like everyone did last year. I just want to get that on record.
Here's the best part. All I got to do is wait 5 days, and I'm going to find out.
I said, Ohio State's
going to lose by 7 to 10 points.
So you got Indiana by 10?
31-21.
We got to put some imperial credits
31,
on that.
31-21.
We got to put some imperial credits
for.
On that.
Go ahead, Zaz.
Who I'm rooting for.
Who are you rooting for?
Indiana!
I agree with that.
It's a race.
I don't like the game that much because it doesn't mean much. You know, they're both getting a bye.
Well, it's a Heisman Trophy. That's essentially what it is.
You don't know that they're both definitely getting a bye. That's not for sure.
The Buckeyes are getting a bye no matter what. I would say unless somebody gets destroyed, both those teams are getting byes. They're undefeated.
Yeah. And Zaz, you think Indiana could put up 21 points against that defense? It's a race to 21 points.
Because
that's what it is.
Here's the thing about the games. There's five teams that have a possibility, in my opinion, to get byes. You got Texas Tech, who has the ability to get a bye. You have Ohio State and Indiana, who has the ability to get a bye. And in my opinion, you got Georgia and Alabama. The winner of that game will get a bye. I think they'll have Alabama jump all the way up there if they beat Georgia head-to-head in that SEC championship game. They'll cut out one, and I think the loser of the SEC championship game will be that team.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure I checked back in 3-4 weeks later. You guys are still on the Indiana trade. Fair play to you. Understood.
Wait
for Saturday.
There's nothing I would like more than Ohio State to get embarrassed in Indianapolis.
Can't wait for Saturday. Zaz, you never answered the question about the defense, but it's okay. I'll let you off of the lasso of truth.
Mike, the same way that we found out that the Hurricanes are better than Notre Dame, we're going to be able to find out with Ohio State, Indiana.
It's uncomparable, Zaz, but I understand the point.
Zaz, where can people tune in if they want to listen to more?
Zaslow Show 2.0, wherever you get your podcasts. You just search Zaslow Show 2.0. We cover everything Miami, everything South Florida sports. Please like, rate, comment, subscribe. I love you long time. And every episode is presented by Anna Jarn Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. And we bring the ESPN Radio College Football Campus Tour to Atlanta and the SEC Championship this weekend.
Zaz, we appreciate it. Looking forward to talking again soon, all right?
Thanks, Zaz.
Great job, guys. See ya.
That's Jonathan Zaslow of the Zaslow Show 2.0. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. No Shave November is coming to a close. I got a little bit of a facial forest going on myself. But No Shave November, presented by Young Lawyers section of the Palm Beach County Bar Association, is a month-long online giving campaign that features community leaders growing beards to raise awareness for men's cancer and funds to help men in Palm Beach County who are struggling with the financial hardship that happens during treatment. Please support the headliners with your donations, and then you could join us, myself and Mike, and all the other lawyers from throughout the Palm Beach County area who are raising money for this great cause tomorrow, December 2nd, 5:30 p.m. at Top of the Rocks at Roxy's Pub, which is 309 South Clematis Street, right here in West Palm Beach in downtown. Go see the award ceremony and live shave-off. Live shave-off, you heard that right. Every dollar raised by the headliners is earmarked to directly help local men and their families so they can focus on healing and recovery, not financial calamity. Tickets for award ceremony and the live shave-off are only $20 and available for online purchase. Just go to caah.org and go find the No Shave November tickets. That's caah.org. Live shave-off tomorrow, Mike?
Yeah, are you doing it?
I don't know.
Are you going to do it? So last year, Colin raised money. He didn't do that this year, but he's got a huge beard. So, like, I'm just wondering, you know, get a free shave.
Or I need the chops.
You want to go Elvis Presley chops?
Yeah.
Dude, my grandfather rocked that lick in the 60s.
Yeah. I could do, like, the thumbprint goatee where you just got a little thumbprint on the chin. And
little soul patch?
Yeah, and you let the mustache run
Dude,
down.
Dude, I'm a fan of the soul patch. Now, mustache, not so much. But you could pull off a mustache. You proved that.
We'll see.
Maybe I'll
keep the beard. It's straggly right now.
This is like what you told me. You were upset when I got my haircut because you said, Riz, you could have done something with it. Kyle, you could do something with that beard.
Yeah,
you got enough of it. I'm impressed. Dare I say your beard's better than Christian's?
It's better than last year. I don't think it's better than Christian's.
Dare I say it's better than Christian's?
What the hell's that about? Like, we're not pitting each other against one another.
I also have red. Christian has brown or black, red, brown.
I'm trying to see who's... Dare I say Russo's comes in a little better.
All right. Thanks.
Mine's red. It's red.
Yeah, your red beard.
Not a competition.
It's red. It's
your red beard.
It's a gross red.
Yeah, you said
it. Some people like it. Some people like the red.
I don't try with my beard, all right, Mike? I actually void of effort is why I have a beard.
I see. Yeah, I just, guys, you guys asked, Riz, can you grow a good beard? I never really gave it a go. So, like, you know, probably not. My answer at this point would be probably not, because I don't even want it to get it to that point.
You never even gave it a go.
No, I'm clean shaved, man.
I do give you credit for not saying you could.
I have no idea, and it's never going to happen because I don't want, like, you guys, like, for me, I don't do the beard because it gets itchy. Like, I can't stand shaving for two days, let alone trying to grow something.
I just don't like shaving in general. It's an awful practice that I reluctantly do twice a week.
I got to figure out how I'm going to do this.
I was about to say you're in a tough spot, but no, you're in a peculiar spot. Yeah. You're in a peculiar spot. I still can't believe I gave you...
A month's worth of growth.
Can I stay on something quickly before we go to a timeout? I can't believe you're still on Indiana. I gave you your out. I gave you your final out. I gave you your out.
31-21.
Dude, they're going to score 31 points against Ohio State.
Quickly.
What, is Sang going to have three interceptions in the game? It's the only way they score 30
Mendoza
points. Listen, I could be devil. Maybe Bo Jackson fumbles twice and Sang has two picks. That's the only way I think 30 points.
I think Igbinosin's going to have seven pass interference penalties.
Hey, he's been good this year. That was one of the worst pass interference calls of all time by Jermaine Matthews in that game.
When they said it was on number one, I'm like shocked that Igbinosin's getting flagged.
Kyle, I'm talking about the one against Jermaine that happened like to get them to 3 points.
Yeah,
the one on the sideline was atrocious. There were a couple of atrocious calls in the game Ohio State and Michigan. But all right, so you don't want your out. You don't want your eye. You're sticking with Indiana.
Indiana.
Feels like the favorite always wins in those Big Ten championship games.
And like a guy,
we're never shocked. I'm just
geared up for Kurt Cignetti to say we're just focused on the playoff.
After the game, we're just focused on the playoff. Christian, I think you can understand this. Dude, the Buckeyes haven't won that game since 19. I think
Indiana won that game?
You're right. You're right on that. But what I'm saying is
have they ever won that? Oh, my goodness.
No, since there's been a game, no.
Yeah,
think, no, they haven't. And I can't tell you the last time. Can you guys tell me the last time they won a football Big Ten championship?
Have they ever been there?
They've been historically one of the worst.
They won two Big Ten conference championships in 1945 and 1967.
Yeah, so like, but like this is like... This is a chance for this Ohio State team to get back to relevancy within the Big Ten.
Mike, they're plenty relevant. Ohio State isn't relevant anymore.
You're a good point. They got to win this game to do that.
Time out. You guys are forgetting what I'm saying. You haven't won the Big Ten since 19, and Michigan has been the main reason you haven't been able
Does
to play in that
care
game.
Does that Oregon won the Big Ten last year?
I do, damn it. I want to win the Big Ten and beat Michigan
Nobody
every single year and win a national
Oregon
championship.
Won that game.
But what I'm
cares.
Saying is this Day knows this means something, and the team wants to win this game. They're in the celebrations after the game. They kept saying, you know, that we still got the big one. We still got the big one, and they were alluding to the Big Ten championship.
The reason we expanded the playoff is so I could be locked into the American championship.
Fair enough.
And I could be locked into Duke, Virginia. Not so I could get locked into Indiana,
Christian,
Ohio
do you
State.
Have any interest in the game? Colin says he has no interest in the Big Ten championship.
I mean, I'll watch
for the Heisman.
Championships matter. I think they do matter. Yeah. I think you've got to be playing for something, and that is, in this game, the only thing you are playing for. I have interest. It's still 1-2. Yeah. Like, that'll sell seats.
So, Colin, my niece...
Actually, it's not. Tickets are always so cheap at the Big Ten championship.
Did I tell you about my nieces and nephews and the conundrum that I'm in? So, my cousin-in-law, Kristen, such a sweet gal. Her family are Michigan. She doesn't care about sports. Okay, she couldn't give two iotas. Her family are Michigan people. Two of them went to Michigan. They sent the kids Michigan gear. And I went over there, and I saw the Michigan gear. I got them Buckeye gear. I am in shambles.
What'd you get them?
I saw Patty wearing a Michigan shirt, and I looked at my cousin Nicholas. I said, dude, that doesn't fly. That does not fly. I got them a national championship shirt, and I got him a large so he could wear it when he's of age.
I was in shambles. Yeah, if you're a growing athlete and you want to play in these Big Ten championship games, you got to make sure that you're fueling your body the right way. Half of it is showing up and doing it. The other half is how you fuel yourself. VitaCost Sports Certified Marketplace, it's a place that's built for athletes and people who are fitness enthusiasts who understand that training hard, but understanding the benefits of what clean supplementation and nutrition can do for you. Whether you're prepping for a big race, training on a team, trying to get better at a specific sport, putting on mass, you never know. VitaCost is your go-to that takes your game to the next level. They have a sports certified marketplace that has over 400 performance-enhancing supplements that are all certified, free of banned substances, no funny business, and they help you level up your game. Visit vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. That's vitacost.com/sport-certified to make your purchase today. Use code ESPN20 for 20% off. That's code ESPN20. We'll game plan for greatness on the other side. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Men, games aren't won on Friday night. They're won Monday through Thursday.
You find out life's a game of inches.
It's about preparation. It's about discipline. And it's about showing up ready to dominate.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
And now, your game plan for greatness. Brought to you by Men's Only Medical. Visit mensonlymedical.com.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose. Let's go play some football. Let's go,
baby. Folks, game plan for greatness, where we break down the Monday night football matchup. Colin takes a team, I take a team on the Monday night game, and we come up with a game plan for them to win the game. Quickly, let me tell you about Men's Only Medical on 2400 North Dixie Highway. Doc Allman is my guy. He's got me on a weight and nutrition management program. This was the first time in a long time I didn't, you know, feel like an idiot after overgorging myself on Thanksgiving because I've been eating right. I've been doing all the right things. Go visit Doc Allen, see what he could do for you. It's a concierge healthcare service over at Men's Only Medical. Once again, game plan for greatness brought to you by Men's Only Medical. I'm going to go take the Giants tonight, Kyle. My game plan for the Giants is find a way to win one of these close games. I mean, geez, Kyle. The Lions, they lost 34-27. They were up two scores at one point in that game. The week before that, the Packers, 27-20. At the Bears, 24-20. Find a way to win a close game. Is that Jameis Winston maybe throwing one less interception? Is that maybe getting the run game on track?
Art's going to be back today. Keep that in mind.
Even better. Get Jackson Dart going. You saw him play some great football under Brian Daboll. Now, I would assume, guys, that they're not going to run him as much that Coach Daboll did. But with Jackson Dart back, find a way to get him to be a direct impact on the football game. It's all about Dart, and it's all about winning a close game for the Giants on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, the Patriots, on the other hand, they've been flirting a little bit with losing. They played some tight games. They had a tight game against the Falcons, tight game against the Buccaneers. You know, the Bengals was closer than it needed to be. I actually think the Giants are going to play well tonight. I think this will be a competitive, hard-fought game. You can make the argument that the Patriots are due to lose one, but every time they go out there, the Denver Broncos are breathing down their neck for that number one overall seed in the AFC. Now, the Broncos were challenged by a Marcus Mariota-led Commander team, and that took overtime just to get past them. I anticipate not necessarily an overtime game, but I am anticipating a hard-fought battle. I don't care that it's 2-10 versus 10-2. I think the Giants, I would take them getting the 7.5 tonight, and I think they're going to play very competitively with Kafka running the plays again, they got nothing to lose. Their job is spoiler.
Right.
Nothing would love them more than to knock the Patriots out of the driver's seat to get that number one overall seed.
And if I can even add more to the Giants quickly, like, just keep taking strides with Dart. Like, who knows who's going to be the head coach of the Giants? We're not at that point yet, but, like, whoever takes that over, make sure the kid is ready to go. And I think that's Kafka's number one job right now. You know, I'm sure they're going to interview Kafka Kyle. You know, I'm sure he's going to get a chance at the head coaching position. My best guess is he's not the coach. But make sure Dart keeps taking the steps into being a pro. That's very important for the Giants organization.
Yeah, New England's already 10-2. They got this game tonight. And keep in mind, they got a bye next week. So this is the last game before bye. I think they're going to kind of hobble into that bye and think, boy, did we escape that. That, to me, is how this game is going to play out. I would take the Giants with the points, but we'll get into that as we inch further into the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. Giants-Patriots tonight, 8:15 ESPN. Not a great game, but Giants-Patriots always has a little bit of history attached to it. So I anticipate a hard-fought match back and forth there. We got to get into the rest of what happened yesterday and throughout the week in the NFL slate. There's a lot of playoff implicating matchups coming up next week. There was a lot of playoff implications this past week. Detroit Lions, are they going to be that odd man out? The Dallas Cowboys winning games. You got to look at the Carolina Panthers, the Rams, Jacksonville Jaguars, the Colts losing again. Houston right there. They got the Chiefs next week at Arrowhead Sunday Night Football. Lots to look forward to, lots to talk about, lots to continue on as we go right into the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. That's on the other side of things. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Kapp. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We got another hour doing the full NFL slate right here on ESPN 106.3.